Well, some of you were here for Christmas Eve. Others were here for both Christmas Eve and the big wedding yesterday. And you're back in church today on the last Sunday of the year when nothing's going on. No, I got that wrong. It goes on like it always goes on because we're here to worship God on the last Sunday of the year. So grace and peace to all of you in the name of Jesus the Christ as we say goodbye to 2025 on this first Sunday after Christmas. We welcome our in-person guests and those who have gathered online to join us for the last Sunday of the year. Welcome to worship. This service does originate from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and I am joined by our worship team, production engineer, and special musicians, which today are two familiar faces with extraordinary talents, Barb Fuller and Deanne McCormick. Our liturgists are Amy Jones and Pastor Rachel Garris. Our first announcement today comes from our moderator, Tom Hacker.
A lot of things happen at Mayflower behind the scenes, and our budget committee has almost completed their mission to come up with a budget for next year. So, as a result, I'm going to give you the following. In accordance with the statutes of the state of Michigan and the Mayflower Congregational Church bylaws, I hereby announce a special congregational meeting to be held on Sunday, January 11th, after church in the sanctuary. Purpose of the meeting will be to review and approve the 2026 budget. Copies of the proposed budget will be available next Sunday and will be emailed. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. If you are a visitor today, please review our worship protocol and mission statement, which are printed in the bulletin. Be reminded that we do not pass offering plates during worship as we consider your presence here in this service a gift to us and to God. If you have come prepared with a financial offering, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary, and as always, thank you for your caring and sharing. There will be, as usual, a coffee hour in the Friendship following worship today with no program, but it's always a good program to visit, correct? This week, Deanne and I will be away as we leave following worship today for North Carolina to visit my son and his family, my grandkids, who I have not seen in 1 year, even though I've seen his parents a few months ago when we went to Seattle, but they left the kids with Grandma, so we had probably a better time doing what we wanted to do. You know how that goes. However, we miss those kids, and so we're taking it 2 days from this afternoon until tomorrow afternoon to get to Raleigh, and then on New Year's Day, we'll be making an early trip from Raleigh down to Charlotte, North Carolina. It's hard not to say Charlotte, but it's Charlotte, North Carolina. And we're going to visit my sister Heidi and her husband Tom, who have been recently home from the mission field after a 25-year career in Nigeria. So they are now settled and working for their mission headquarters in Charlotte, where we will be visiting them, and we'll be returning on Saturday. So I'll come back to Sunday morning, and I'll just won't be prepared at all to preach a sermon, but I'll preach it anyway. Speaking of that, today's worship theme is Time to Recount, taken from Isaiah 63, 7 through 9. And be prepared for something just a little different today. Let us now worship God.
Traffic jam at church. Who would have thunk? Thank you, Dan. Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Well, Justin and Jamie, hi. Sorry, guys. It's a blessing to see all of you in church today. Crowds kind of start to get a little bit smaller after Christmas. We've got our snowbirds and everybody, of course. If you're experiencing post-Christmas blues, you're not alone. After all the buildup, anticipation, music, rituals, family worship, and generosity, and Justin and Jamie's wedding, the wedding, there is an inevitable emotional drop. The calendar is about to flip, and ordinary life feels a little flat. But every effort has been made to put just as much into this service as any. Let's allow the music, the scripture, and the spoken word to feed our tired spirits so that we can let God move us from a joy anticipated to a joy sustained. May we also remember that from this point forward, the darkness of the solstice will gradually reverse course toward the light of Epiphany, which will guide us and brighten our spirits. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God of light and life, we bring our post-holiday fatigue back to the place where we can be renewed and restored. So we thank you for all the blessings we have received in 2025, especially the blessings of the beloved community. We give you thanks for helping us to become better followers of Christ in our loving and in our serving. We thank you for the sustaining presence of friends we have known for years and the many new friendships we have gained as our church has grown. We thank you for the generosity of your people, which has enabled us to cast a wider net of service and love to a broken world. Now we pray that even in the natural letdown after the holidays, you would grant to us a strengthening and renewing grace for our continuing journeys, filled with faith and a resolve to trust you, whose faithfulness and love is steadfast. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is the creator.
Before we take the offering, symbolically today, having Barb sing and Deanne play, having our two staff members who are also pastors here at Mayflower, along of thinking of our lay ministers and our worship coordinator, Lorraine Finneson, and our production engineer, Kim Finneson, I would like to say a word of profound thanks to those that work so hard in ministry, yes, but that ministry so much is focused on what we do on Sunday morning and then all the rabbit trails, if you were, to run out from there. So I just want to say, Barb, Deanne, Rachel, Marjorie, and Dawn, wherever you are, Betty and Kathy, wherever you are, Kim, Lorraine, it makes my job a lot easier, and I think most pastors aren't nearly as fortunate as I am to have the kind of staff and volunteers that that I enjoy here, so thank you. Good. I'll say amen to that. Thanks to you, our budget committee will have an easier job this year making financial or final decisions to present a budget to the congregation on January 11th, as you've heard from our moderator. By any standards of measurement, 2025 has been a good year at Mayflower. God has given us the resources to keep working, keep serving, and always looking for new and creative ways to expand the ministry in our church, our neighborhood, our community, our nation, and the world. So we now, in that spirit of gratefulness, of thanksgiving, we offer our time, our talents, our treasures, and ourselves to God in this holy moment of worship. Thanks be to God. Another part of our worship team that I didn't mention is Bob Z. Bob, there's so many things that you take care of us for, or take care of for us, and the care that you give to so many in this congregation during worship and otherwise. So thank you, Bob. And I'm sure when you take opportunity to name names, you'll always leave somebody out. I wish I could thank each one of you and every member of this congregation, and even those that are not members but attend, a great thank you. That's just part of what it means to be a pastor of a truly beloved community. Let us pray. Lord, we certainly admit to an emotional letdown, whether it is fatigue or just a little post-holiday or post-Christmas blues, and yet we come back to the place that is to you, to find renewal, to find perspective, and to find a new spirit looking ahead to 2026 that you can implant in us if our spirits are available. So in these moments, oh God, in spite of the heavy schedule and the feeling of fatigue and otherwise, bring to us a new spirit of energy and hope and commitment. We do not forget the pressing needs of the world, but Lord, today we ask that you would help us to be reminded of all the good news that comes our way that we rarely hear about. So we thank you for the good news, all of the good news that has happened here at Mayflower. And during this month of September, special times of gathering. And even as we have gathered with a family in loss, and celebrated with a new family, joining their lives together and all that has happened. We give you thanks for the good news that is at the heart and center of the gospel. Implant within us today, Lord, the good news of the gospel that comes to all people. And as was sung today, the many things that have happened because you gave Christ to this world and to our lives. Now, Lord, we do not forget those that lay very heavy upon our hearts and those that we pray for privately, and then take the opportunity now by the mention of first names to corporately lift these names to you, knowing that you hear and you know just now. And now, Lord, as there are so many things we do together as the beloved community, we thank you for the opportunity, even in the ritual of it, to bring meaning and purpose as we pray that which we've been taught, like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 7 through 9. We as human beings tend to have very short memories, especially when things aren't going as we think they should. Things weren't going very well for Israel when these words were written. And yet, in spite of circumstances, we find some amazing hope and blessings in this passage. Hear now these words. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. As always, and indeed every Sunday, behind this holy desk, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God. Amen. I told you something's going to be different, and I don't know if this is different or not, but today, this sermon is going to be one of the most boring sermons you've ever heard in your life. But I want to tell you, we have nice padded pews, so if you just happen to just fall over with fatigue and lay out on the extra room we have here today, feel free. I won't be offended. I wonder who'll be the first to do that. Well, you know why a sermon like this could be boring? I have reams of good news to share, reams of it, more than some people might even want. Unfortunately, good news doesn't sell very well, and it might not preach very well, but we'll see. In today's chapter, or today's text, chapter 63 of Isaiah, which is kind of an obscure text, It does not begin, the chapter does not begin gently at all. It opens with anger, wrath, and vindication. God is described as fierce, unsettling, even terrifying. This chapter remembers violence, injustice, and deep disappointment. The people are wrestling with a God who did not act the way they expected. Then something remarkable happens. In verse 7, as you've heard, the prophet pivots and he says, I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord. Not because everything is resolved, not because suffering has disappeared, but because remembering becomes an act of resistance. And that is true in a very personal sense. Some people call me the eternal optimist. Well, maybe there's a variance of personality that we all have, but remembering good things in good times, regardless of present circumstances, can be an act of resistance. By the way, when does God ever act in the way we expect? The most significant reason we don't see God acting in ways we expect is the natural tendency we have to focus on bad news. Bad news sells. Why? Because fear is a motivator for profit. Let me describe. Fear plays upon our instinct for protection and survival, and those are basic instincts of human beings. When bad things happen in our bodies and our spirits, we seek remedial treatment, and it costs a lot of money, and it makes somebody else a lot of money. Conversely, and here's the amazing thing about good news and good feelings, they produce endorphins. You know what endorphins are and what they do? They are natural painkillers, and they elevate our moods, and they reduce the need to buy treatment or seek medical help. They reduce the need to spend money. Therefore, we are not given much good news, except the hopeful good news that if you buy a product that they advertise on TV, that somebody's going to make some money off of it. Well, since good news doesn't sell well, we often miss it. We overlook it. You won't find much on the evening news of good news, except for usually a little feel-good story at the end. You know what I'm talking about? If you turn on the half hour of whatever news channel you get, you're going to hear about 27 minutes of bad news. And then you get maybe a little blip at the end as if to say, everything's going to be okay, which it really isn't. So, and this is the different part. Some of you may have to endure this, but I'm going to give you a healthy dose of good news which might surprise you. It surprised me. It might also change our depiction of God as we focus on good news. I'll begin with Lansing. The Michigan Avenue Project received funding to revitalize three buildings, creating 15 affordable housing units and nearly 6,900 feet of commercial space. I didn't hear any clapping, but nonetheless, the $2.6 billion investment in Ultium Cells battery plant is on track to employ 1,700 people in Delta Township. There has been some progress in road improvements, most notably right around the corner on Pleasant Grove. And there has been additional $5.5 million in federal funding for future road improvements. And new agreements with the state are underway, which could dramatically affect the road budget in Lansing. And let's face it, if you live in the city limits of Lansing, you know there's a great shortfall in the budget for roads. I know those figures because of the meetings that happen here once a month through the year. New housing and commercial spaces are being added to the stadium district downtown. Have you noticed that? Have you been downtown? Well, there you have it. The population decline here in Lansing has been reversed since 2020, with a 1.5% increase since then. The city has secured stipulations with a consumer energy easement to better protect local green spaces. And if you notice, the Walter French development began transforming a former school into 75 nice new apartment units. How many of you went to a Walter French school? Okay, a few. Well, doesn't sound too exciting yet, but I'll keep working on it. How about the environment? Did you know that 79 nations have signed on to the Global Ocean Treaty, way beyond the necessary 60 needed for ratification? This treaty brings hope for the restoration and protection of ocean habitat and marine sanctuaries that are under threat, especially for people who rely on them. You ever seen the pictures of all this plastic that just builds up and it's everywhere? There's something being done about that. But when's the last time you heard that on the evening news? Some animal species have come back from the brink. This fascinates me. If it doesn't fascinate you, then just, I've already told you, it's going to be boring, okay? I've already told you that. Dozens of recovering species have proven that extinction is not inevitable. Green sea turtles this year came off the endangered list. In the U.S. territory of Guam, a kingfisher laid eggs outdoors for the first time in almost four decades, thanks to a breeding program. Did you know that Guam is in the United States? Well, a singing insect was brought back from the brink in England, and brown trout returned to Swedish rivers, where there was a lot of pollution after a big cleanup. The trout have returned, and for the first time in over 100 years, and this is near and dear to my heart because of what goes on in the Pacific Northwest with fish, Chinook salmon were spotted in the Chiloquin Basin in Oregon, first time in 100 years. The jaguar population surged in Mexico, the only one of five big cats that are in the Americas. And cranes in Scotland have staged a remarkable comeback after 500 years of hunting to near extinction. And the recovery of 150 animal species in England was hailed as a conservation success story. In 2025, there were vast new wildlife sanctuaries established. The deforestation rate in every region of the world is slowing. Now, of course, we know much more needs to be done, but the trend is encouraging. For the first time ever, wind and solar energy replace coal as the world's leading source of electricity. And if you're, yes, yay, if you like clean air, you can be thankful. Now, there's always the other side of the story. If you talk to people in West Virginia, they might have a little different perspective on that, but for the good of the world, I think it's good. Solar energy is now the fastest growing source of electricity. Two rivers in two major cities opened for swimming for the first time in decades due to massive cleanup efforts, the Seine in Paris, and believe it or not, the Chicago River in Chicago. Speaking of cities, in the U.S., Chattanooga, Tennessee was once dubbed the dirtiest city in the United States with its infamous acrid air and toxic water. It was now recently designated as North America's first national park city due to massive local efforts to clean it up. And I was in Chattanooga in September when I went to my cousin's funeral, and I saw a different city than I had seen before. How about in the field of science and medicine? This is where it really gets interesting and kind of crosses paths with some of us. In July of this year, gene therapy treatment helped people born with genetic hearing loss recover some of their hearing. In October, it was reported that blind people were able to read again thanks to a revolutionary eye implant. The device was inserted under the retinas of 38 people with age-related macular degeneration. Paired with video recording glasses, the technology enabled 84% of participants to read, not having been reading before. Where's Arlene today? That's interesting, Arlene. Maybe it might be a little late for you or some others, but that still has to be encouraging for all the people that you know and support in the blind community. Late this year, scientists revealed that world-first gene therapy, which turns white blood cells into disease-busting living drugs, has reversed previously untreatable blood cancers in children. That makes me want to cry. New drug combination was credited with boosting survival rates for women with aggressive inherited breast cancer. Similarly, a new drug pathway outperformed chemotherapy for patients with chronic lymphocytic leukemia and was said to be transforming lives. A groundbreaking new technology, and listen to this one if you've never heard it, is the development, and they've gotten there, in artificial or synthetic blood. Have you heard of that, anybody? Here it is. It is designed to be universally compatible, temperature stable, and can be stored long-term in powdered form. Just add water. This is not science fiction, folks. This is happening. What it does, it eliminates the need for blood type matching and compatibility testing, which can be time-consuming and resource-intensive. I get excited about this stuff, folks. In another once impossible medical development, scientists treated Huntington's disease for the first time using gene therapy to significantly slow the disease. I was talking to my wife, and she has known somebody with Huntington's disease. Some of you probably have too. September brought the news that an AI-assisted brain scanning tool rapidly speeds up stroke diagnosis. I can't wait to tell Andy about that, who's a neurologist. And maybe he knows already about it. He probably does. Who do I think I am to tell a neurologist news in his field? In November, scientists said that the new monthly jab for treating severe asthma may replace daily steroids. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hands. Anybody here ever had asthma? That might be interesting to you. Medical developments brought hope to expectant parents for the first time. Babies were born free from a deadly hereditary disease thanks to an in vitro fetalization procedure that used the DNA of three people. And a miracle baby girl became the first baby in the UK to be born to a mother with a donated womb. Amazing. Scientists hailed a golden age of cancer treatment with survival rates doubling in some parts of the world as advances in digital data science and AI reimagined research elevated dramatically what's possible for current and future generations. If it isn't good for us, God bless our children and grandchildren with this. 2025 saw plenty of advances on the diagnosis front. A new technique for detecting bowel cancer was shown to be 90% accurate at predicting which people would go on to develop the disease, thereby helping not only the diagnosis but early treatment. Scientists also claim to have developed an ultra-rapid test that diagnoses brain tumors in as little as 2 hours, a big improvement on the 6 weeks that it currently takes, means they'll have a six-week head start on treatment for brain tumors. Uganda's health authorities have declared an end to the country's outbreak of Ebola in May, acting rapidly to contain the virus by employing medical teams to investigate each case. They have dispatched support workers to reduce the stigma around the disease and build trust with the affected communities. Are you still with me? Okay. Death from heart attacks. Here's something amazing. This resonates from my childhood when I knew so many people in the churches where my dad died. When they would die, and what was the cause? Heart attack. Somebody was gone just like that. That still happens, but deaths from heart attacks has been drastically reduced since 1970. In fact, they are down by 90%. I take blood pressure medicine, and I take a statin that controls and limits my cholesterol. I'm probably one of those statistics. The number of people dying from chronic diseases globally fell in 4 or 5 nations between 2010 and 2019. In November, the World Health Organization revealed that the number of polio cases globally had plummeted more than 99% in 35 years. In the 1980s, did you know that about 350,000 children per year were left paralyzed by polio, a figure that now stands at just 50. 350,000 in 1980 and 50 today. That's still too many, but the progress is remarkable. and even staggering. I told you this was going to be different. All right, good, good. Got one or two with me anyway. All right. The World Health Organization also found that 59 million young lives have been saved since 2000, thanks to the measles vaccine. November brought the news that the world is closer to a future free of cervical cancer, as more than 86 million girls in the most at-risk nations had received a vaccine against the element which causes the disease. Many third world nations this year were certified as malaria-free. And I'll find out a little more about this because my sister and her and my brother-in-law have contracted a time or two malaria because of where they served in Nigeria. Other nations have reported that they have eliminated trachoma, the world's leading cause of infectious blindness. John Beard, professor at Columbia University, has said that due to the vast improvements like the absence of disease, lifestyle changes, better nutrition, medical advances, and awareness, listen to this, this works for a lot of us here today, 70 is the new 60. And I read plenty of data to back that up. I'm feeling good. Oh boy, it's the last Sunday of the year, folks. Just kind of whatever. In society and people, there has been a deal, fragile at best, yet still holding to end the war in Gaza that killed tens of thousands and devastated the lives and livelihoods of so many. And I'll tell you, many questions remain over justice, but when any sort of peace happens, there is hope. The smartphone-free childhood movement is gathering momentum, especially in 2025. In December, listen to this, Australia introduced the world's strictest social media laws prohibiting under 16-year-olds from using platforms. Now, obviously, there's going to be some ways around that, but that's still a bold move. South Korea became the latest nation to go all in on banning smartphones in school. It wasn't so long ago that we had somebody here that frequented this pulpit, especially in music, who had a long career at Waverly High School, and she told us all that because of smartphone use in the class, she was done with teaching. In a first-of-its-kind study, it was found that pupils' grades in classrooms that outlawed smartphones had better grades than those that allowed them. This puts hard evidence to the fact that children are better able to focus, connect, and flourish without smartphones. Maybe that has something to say to adults, too. Nations have been making progress on poverty reduction. A record number of people have access to some sort of social protection, including pensions, disability benefits, and direct cash payments. In Bangladesh, 34 million people were lifted out of poverty between 2010 and 2022. In Iraq, material poverty has been almost halved there since 2011. And here's only the bad news today. Sadly, the progress against poverty in the richest country in the world, the U.S., is stagnant or worsening. Again, that's the only bad news I'll share with you today. More good news is that violent crime plummeted in the U.S. and beyond. The U.S. is on course to record one of its least violent years since modern records began. The FBI figures from August show that the U.S. murder rate saw its sharpest decline to date in 2024, dropping by 14.9%, eclipsing even 2023's substantial 10% decline. So here's a question. Do you think that God is involved in the end of this good news? Or do you think it's just happenstance? I do. What about you? In spite of all that we deplore, the bad news which depresses, the endless cycle of political discord, exacerbating by watching TV news, which I never do, and the uncertainty of the future, the memory of good news can affect change. And yes, it is a form of resistance. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, says Isaiah, spoken against the tide of all the bad news and lack of understanding about what God might be up to. So, today, as a little advice, not from me, but words from Scripture, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:8, some of us had to memorize this when we were children. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Amen. Did you catch that song? Did you sing it as a child? Here's the connection between what we just shared. Who are the most optimistic people in the world? Well, we've got some here, but how about little children? Little children. And Jesus had a lot to say about that. One of those things he said that I was thinking about as I sang this song was that except ye enter the kingdom as a little child, you won't enter at all. Let us be little children in our faith. Let us be little children with our enthusiasm. Let us be little children to accept the grace and the love of God. So now, as little children in spirit, let us go in the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the fellowship of his spirit. Amen. Oh, hang on. Oh, okay, keep going. Well, if you weren't here for the wedding ceremony yesterday, I made special note to say something about this couple, and that was they met in church, in the church choir, and some of you were here for the beautiful way the choir sang as Jamie walked down the aisle, kissed by her father, and then taken in Justin's arms and brought so lovingly with all these beautiful roses. And we are reminded of that rose, which we sung about yesterday at the wedding, that bloomed over 2,000 years ago, that is the reason that we're all here. But it's very special for me to welcome today back to where they met in church. You know what? We don't do it for music, but a round of applause for this, the lovely couple, our couple. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So we'll go whatever. You are dismissed. Hope to see you around a little breaking of bread. Jamie. I appreciate that. I hope someone will.